Welcome to the Vanguard Church Podcast. You're about to hear a sermon from Vanguard Church Central in the heart of Colorado Springs. With every message, it's our prayer that you hear and learn how to live out your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. May your faith be strengthened, your hope increased, and your heart inspired to live for Jesus no matter the cost. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
Into one of the most special passages of Scripture in the Gospel of John today. And I want you to think about this statement, if you, not F you, I'm sure, if you, not F you, if you will do what I show you today, God will unleash benefits on your life. But I want you to understand some of the benefits of God, covenantally, some of the benefits of God are contingent upon your choices. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, but God has blessings and benefits for your life that you have to choose. And those blessings and those benefits are unleashed upon your life when you choose, Jesus says, if you will. It's our choice. Today, John chapter 14, verse 15. What are the benefits if you keep Jesus' commandments? Look at John 14, 15. This is Jesus talking. Listen to what he says. If you love me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Everything that we talk about today, and I would encourage you, if you have a pen or if you have a little marker on your phone, that you can circle these two words, and especially the first word. If you, not F you, if you will do what I'm going to show you, God is going to unleash benefits on your life that are going to amaze you, that are going to bless you, that are going to wow you, that are going to heal you. See, something has to break. Once you're broke, something has to break once you're broke. And can you say to the Lord, I am broken? You go, I don't know. No, listen, hope's just on the other side of that statement. If you can come to the place to where you can live for the Lord, and you can say to the Lord every day, Lord, I am broken. Break what has to break so that I can receive the blessings that you have for my life. Lord, I want to love you more than anything else and anyone else in my life. Amen. That's hard to say. So I want you to listen to this in the Greek, and you may not be familiar with this, but the New Testament was written in the language of what's called Koine Greek, which is the language of the common people. And Jesus, believe it or not, Jesus most often quoted the Septuagint, which just so happens to be the Greek version of the Old Testament. Listen to John chapter 14, verse 15 in the Greek. Eon agapate me tas intulas tas emas. And here's the word I want you to focus on. Teresete. Teresete. The word teresete means to keep. So what in your life do you teresete? What in your life are you keeping? What in your life do you need to not keep that quite honestly is destructive to your life, is defeating to your life, is depressing to your life? And you look at the children of Israel, they're just like us. They get out there in the difficulties of their lives and they go, you know what, I've got an idea. Let's go back to Egypt. Oh yeah, that'll be great. And we're like, yeah, that's where we find ourselves sometimes. When the going gets tough, sometimes the tough go back to Egypt. The root word here simply means to guard or to diligently persevere by preserving. And so there are times in our lives when we have to guard truth because we live in a world that says, I want to destroy the truth. And then as you guard the truth, you have to persevere and you have to preserve that truth in you, and you have to continue to make choices to say, Jesus, I will love you regardless. I want you to know that God's love for you has never been in question. But our love for God is always in question. And every day we have to make a choice. Will I choose to love my God, or will I choose to try to figure out a way to love the things of this world and the people of this world, even if they don't love the God I love? And that's a choice you have to make. It's a choice I have to make. We have to decide if we want to protect and to put into action the love that we have for God. Now, I can say to Tasha today, we've now officially been married 32 years, okay? Woohoo! And we've decided to go for 33, just so you know. It was a little in doubt for a couple of days, but I talked her into it. And if I say to her, you know, Tasha, I love you, then she says to me, well, then feed my sheep, right? Or feed my chickens, or whatever the case may be, right? And long ago, and I said this in the marriage seminar that we just finished with a number of couples, I said, Tasha, what can I do on a daily basis to show you that I love you? And here's what she said, make the bed. So I put all the decorative pillows, and I say to myself, every time I put them on there, don't understand. Don't understand, but it doesn't matter. See, love doesn't have to understand to love. And by the way, you don't have to understand what God is doing in your life to say, you know what? I'm going to put the pillows on the bed for the Lord today. I'm going to put the decorative pillows on the bed for the Lord today, and I'll trust that the Lord will let me know what they represent because I just don't get it. So what does it mean to keep God's commandments? What does it involve? Three things. Number one, commitment. Number two, intention. And number three, action. Love involves a commitment. I am committed to my bride. I am intentional to my bride. And I am engaged in action to my bride that demonstrates that I love her. Now, if we keep God's commandments, and I want you to hear me, Jesus didn't say, if you keep my commandments, I will love you. No, Jesus said, if you love me, because he's already decided that he loves you. But if you will love him, then you will keep his commandments. You will put the decorative pillows on the bed. Look at verse 16. And I will ask the Father. This is Jesus. And he'll give you another helper, thank God, to be with you forever. How many people like a helper? I really like a helper. So here's benefit number one. You're never alone in your fight against sin. You are never alone in your fight against sin. He will give you another helper. And he'll be with you how long?
Forever.
Forever. I had the privilege on Thursday morning of going to breakfast with my friend Armin Summer. Armin used to be the senior pastor of Pulpit Rock, and a long time ago when we moved in to start Vanguard, we lived at the Commons apartments up off of Lexington and Research, and Armin and Nancy had moved in as well because they were building a house, and they were waiting for that house to be built, and we were staging our first outreach event for Vanguard. And we were standing out there trying to figure out, we were putting bales of straw in our garage, and over walks this neighbor and says, "Hey, my name's Armin. What are you doing?" "We're starting a church." And so I told him what we're doing. Here's what he said. Now, I always give him a hard time about it. He said, "Just a couple of crazy kids." Yeah. I said, "We're not kids anymore, are we, Armin?" God has single-handedly used Armin in my life over the last 29 years. Armin has spoke more prophetic words into my life than probably anybody else in my life. Didn't see that coming. And he had another prophetic word for me that he spoke over my life on Thursday morning. You say, "Why are you telling us this?" Because it's nice to have friendship that spans three decades and then be reminded the Holy Spirit's going to be there longer than that. Longer than that. Amen? Amen? You're never alone in your fight against sin. Verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Listen to that phrase, "he dwells with you," okay, "and he's in you." That's pretty cool. You always have help, and you're never alone. That's what the Holy Spirit wants you to know today. You always have help, and you're never alone. So where is it in your life that you feel alone? Raising your children, your job, your marriage? Where is it in your life that you need to say, "You know what, Holy Spirit, I feel alone in, and I want to invite you into that today. I want to partner with you in my depression. I want to partner with you in my discouragement. I want to partner with you in my anxiety. I want to partner with you in my worry." Do you know what's sad about the Christian life for a lot of Christians? They live like they're alone and like it's solely up to them. And do you understand that if you're going to do what God has called you to do, you're going to have to invite the Holy Spirit into it, because the God-sized calling that God has placed on your life, you're not going to be able to do without him. And so where is it in your life? You go, "I didn't know that marriage was going to be this hard. I didn't know that parenting was going to be this hard. I didn't know," you fill in the blank. Whatever it is, I just want to invite you to invite him. Invite him into that space. So where is that? He's talking to you right now. He's wanting a real relationship with you right now. He wants you to let him be a part of the discussion of your life. Stop talking to yourself and start talking to him. Stop talking to yourself and start talking to him. You go, "Yeah, but he's going to talk back and he's going to say things I don't want to hear." But it'll benefit you. Look at what he says. "I will not leave you as orphans." Where in your life do you feel like an orphan? Where do you feel abandoned? Where do you feel that you're an alien in your own skin? He says, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to you." See, your issues and your fears of abandonment are Christ's supreme concern. Your issues and your fear of abandonment is Christ's supreme concerns. He'll come to you in the darkest place, in the darkest moment, in the brightest way. He'll come to you in the darkest moment, and he will bring the light of hope like you couldn't believe. He focuses on his disciples and what they are going through. Look at verse 19. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. So here's benefit number two. You'll be able to truly live. You'll be able to truly live. This does not mean that you're not going to have pain and disappointment and discouragement and defeat. You're going to have all the things that everybody else has in their life. So what does it mean to truly live? Number one, you have constant fellowship and relationship with the Father. You have constant fellowship and relationship with the Father. See, I've reached a point in my life, I've done my devotions for so long that I truly feel like an alien in this world if I can't have them in the morning. And I would rather lose sleep and make sure that I've had time with the Lord than stay in bed and sleep if I have to get up and I have to go do something early in the morning. And for me personally, I love that time in the morning where the Lord tells me who he is and who I am in him. And he also shows me who I am if I'm not in him. And that's tough, that's hard, that's difficult. That's a very difficult process to walk through, but I've become very familiar with it and I've accepted it. Look at verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Number two, you're loved by the Father. You're loved by the Father. What does it mean to truly live? You go, you know what? I'm loved. You say, yeah, but those people don't love you. That's true. They don't. But the Father does. The Father does. The Father never stops loving you. Never. And then the third one, what does it mean to truly live? Jesus manifests himself to you. And this word manifest is usually used in reference to negative things, but God wants you to know that he wants to manifest himself to you. Because see, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, but you forget that sometimes, and he has to manifest himself to you, and you have to see him in the circumstances of your life. And so you say, well, how does he do that? Well, look at verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you'll manifest yourself? Isn't that a good question? Because that's a question I would ask. I mean, so you're going to manifest yourself. So can you tell us how you're going to do it? Jesus answered them, if anyone loves me, he can keep my word. My Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. And whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he's going to teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I've said to you. You say, well, how does Jesus manifest himself in your life? Here's how he does it. He reminds me what his word says. That's how he manifests himself. And sometimes he uses very difficult circumstances to do that. But he reminds me of the words that he spoke to me through his word. And so the reason why I want to read his word, the psalmist says, so that I can hide it in my heart, so that he can talk to me and remind me and manifest himself to me. And so how has Jesus manifested himself to you today? How? And what's funny to me is there are so many Christians, and maybe you fall into this category, there are so many Christians that they're so afraid to go, well, I don't want to say that was God. Okay, why not? Why not? Well, because I don't want to play the God card. Okay, well, what card do you want to play? Well, I just don't want to play the God card. Okay, I understand if you're saying that I want to be careful that I don't misuse God's authority. I understand that. But at some point, you have to decide whether you're living for Jesus to manifest himself in your life or you're just living to figure it out on your own. And I will tell you, I don't want to figure it out on my own. I want to humble myself in the sight of the Lord, and I want to celebrate whatever brings humility into my life immediately. And then I want to say to the Lord, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to speak to me? And see, when I go to God's word, I say to the Lord, what do you want to say to me? Okay, well, Lord, it seems to me like I'm not getting anything out of this part. Is there somebody else in my life that you're wanting me to see something right now? And a name will pop into my head. And the Lord will say, I want you to see this about them. Do you want me to tell them, Lord? No, I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for that in their life because that is what I am doing in them. And listen, you don't have to like people. You don't have to like what people are doing to pray God's glory for their life. And you need to learn how, even if you don't agree with people, that you pray for them and that you pray, especially if they're believers, you pray in partnership with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of them for God to work in them, for God to work in their lives. So look what happens in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Huh. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. I hear people talking today, even Christians. Hey, you just need to practice your peace. Okay, well, here's the problem. I don't have any peace. I have none. So I can't practice my peace. And I don't want fake peace. I don't want counterfeit peace. I don't want the peace of the world. I want the peace of God. And so if you tell me to practice the peace of Jesus, well, let me have some of that. But I don't want to practice my joy. I don't want to practice my peace. I don't want to practice my positive vibes. These are all idols. These are not of God. Do you understand that? These are not of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. That's it. Anything that's good is God's. So I want God's peace. And he says, I'm going to leave it with you. Thank you, Lord. You know, just walking around the house, well, the Lord has left me some peace today. Isn't that exciting? Now let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So here's benefit number three, peace. We're all anxious about something. And I will tell you what you will discover as you age. I was talking to my dad yesterday. He said, I was talking to him about being done with parenting as of this past Friday, being done, right? And he said, you know, well, you think the last 28 years went fast. You wait, the next 25 are going to go faster. It's like, thanks for the encouragement, Dad. But here's what you discover. They that wait upon the Lord, shall not be put to shame. And here's what you will discover as you age. You're always waiting on the Lord for something. And once you get whatever you're waiting on the Lord for, you'll be waiting on Him for something else. And so life is about waiting while staying engaged in your calling, while staying engaged in the relationships of your life. Listen to me. God doesn't withdraw from relationship unless sin is involved. Do you understand that? You ever read the Bible? The only time God withdraws His hand of relationship is when sin is involved. If there is no sin involved, you shouldn't withdraw relationship. You say, yeah, but they hurt me. Okay, guess what? You probably hurt them. You say, is that sin? Well, maybe sins of omission, maybe. And you get in, but at a certain point, you have to say, you know what? I have to walk in obedience to Christ, and He's telling us that His word is clear, that relationship is what God runs toward, not away from. The quickest way to remedy anxiety, you ready? You want to know how to remedy anxiety? Do what God is telling you to do. But here's the problem. You know why anxiety gets the best of us? Because we don't want to do what God's telling us to do. You say, well, what's God telling us to do? Well, whatever He's telling you to do, it's going to require humility. And you have to yield yourself. And you have to face your fears. Even in marriage. Well, what if I humble myself and love my spouse and they don't realize how bad they are? Oh my goodness. Well, strangely enough, it's amazing how when you yield yourself and you face your fears, the Bible says that He increases His grace to you. And when God increases His grace to you, you guess what happens? People who don't want that same grace become angry and move away from you, because they don't want to let go of offense. That's what we've been talking about in our men's nights. It's never okay to hold on to offense. It's never okay. We'll talk about that in some weeks to come. Obedience is key to peace. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. The next time you're full of anxiety and worry and depression, say this: Lord, what do You want me to do? I'll do it. The Lord said to me not too long ago, He said, I want you to trust me with this. I said, what does that look like? He told me, I've been doing it. Just do it. No one in the whole world probably will ever know, except God and I. But the Lord told me what to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. How about you? He'll tell you what to do. And the moment He tells you what to do, it will require humility. But if you'll do it, He'll give you grace, and the peace and the anxiety and the worry will subside. And the courage and the hope and the joy will return. Now, learning to appropriate peace, it takes time. But I want you to know that without peace, it will never happen. I mean, without obedience, it will never happen. You will never have peace independent of obedience. You have to choose obedience. And when you choose obedience, peace comes. Jesus continues. Look at verse 28. You heard me say to you, I'm going to go away. And I'll come to you, and if you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I'm going to no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Verse chapter 16. Now, I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They're going to put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. That's a direct prophecy of Saul in the book of Acts. They'll do these things because they've not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I didn't say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, the Helper won't come. But if I go, I'll send him. And when he comes, he'll convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you'll see no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. He's condemned. And the ruler of this world is condemned, and he wants to condemn you. And I still have many things to say to you, but you can't hear them. When the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. Sometimes you'll say to the Lord, Lord, can you tell me what's going on? No. Why? Because you can't receive it right now. You can't handle what's going on right now. Okay. When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. How much of the truth? Can somebody say how much of the truth? Oh, okay. All right, that's helpful. For he'll not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he'll declare to you the things that are to come. Whoa. He'll glorify me. Did you catch that? When God speaks truth, he doesn't just talk about the past. He doesn't just talk about the present. He also will talk about the future. He will show you what has happened. He will show you what is happening, and he will show you what will happen. That's how you know that God is speaking to you. Is that, and this is why I write things down in my journal, because it's like, okay, well, I believe this is what you said has happened. I believe this is what you said is happening, and I believe you said this is what's going to happen. So you write those three things down. And he'll glorify me, for he'll take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said he'll take what is mine and declare it to you. So here's benefit number four. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Now, let me say it another way. If you need to know it, God will make sure you know it. If you need to know it, God will make sure you know it. So if you don't know something, it's because he doesn't think you need to know it. So can you trust him? Can you trust him? Jesus continues. Look at verse 16. A little while and you'll see me no longer. And again, a little while you'll see me. It's like a magician. And so some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he's saying to us? A little while and you'll see me. And again, a little while you won't see me because I'm going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? And by the way, we're still trying to figure out that. We do not know what he's talking about. Yes, we agree. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you're asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while and you'll not see me, and again a little while you'll see me again? And truly I say to you, you'll weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into what? Joy. That's what Easter's about. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish. Right, ladies? You don't hold that baby in your hands and go, you're not going to believe how much this cost me to get you here. You don't care. The joy of the birth of that child exceeds the pain that it took to get them here. When she's delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. No one will take your joy from you. No one will take your joy from you. Oh, so the only way I lose my joy, you ready? I got to give it away. No one can take your joy. It's yours. That the Holy Spirit gives you. Say, how come? Because he lives inside of you. It's one of his gifts. You say to the Holy Spirit, I don't have any joy right now. The Holy Spirit says, oh, you got joy. You just didn't ask me for any. So ask me for some right now. Ask me for some joy. I'll give you some. I'll give you some joy. That your joy may be full. Benefit number five, your sorrow will turn into joy. God has a way of taking our grief and turning our tears of sorrow into true joy, joy unspeakable. So do what he's told you to do. Be who he has asked you to be. If you do what he's told you to do, if you be who he's called you to be, he'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. So Jesus concludes. Look at verse 25. I've said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when no one longer to speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. And in the day you'll ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father in your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, ah, now you're speaking plainly, not using figurative speech. We know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it's come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone, yet I'm not alone. He's talking about the crucifixion. For the Father's with me. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace, and in the world you'll have tribulation. But take heart. Take heart. I've overcome the world. So why don't you name it today, when we go into time of communion and receive the body and the blood of Jesus, why don't you say to the Lord, Lord, I need you to overcome this. I need you to overcome whatever that is, name it. Benefit number 6, we overcome the obstacles of our lives. We overcome the obstacles of our lives. I had a strange occurrence, and I'll close with this. I had a strange occurrence when I was writing the sermon, and I have a stand-up desk, so I walk around on Tuesdays. I write all my messages pretty much standing up, and I find that I think better that way. And I'm just walking around in my office, and all of a sudden I had kind of this epiphany, this moment with the Lord, because I felt a lot of anxiety about a myriad of things. And this is what I felt like the Lord said to me, Kelly, when you're done being the senior pastor of Vanguard, you're going to look back and you're going to wonder how it all got done and how I worked it all out. And you're still not going to be able to understand it. And in that moment when the Lord speaks, I was flooded with peace. I was flooded with joy. And I was flooded with hope. And so where in your life, it's just not going to work out. It's not going to work out. It's going to work out just like he's planned it to work out. You say, yeah, but I understand. You wish it didn't have to go through that. But you can be confident of this one thing. One thing. You can constantly be confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. And so I just want to invite you to offer up your real life to him today. And I want to ask you this simple question. Will you love him in this? If you.
Central Podcast. We encourage you to go out and live your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. God bless you, friend. See you next time.